Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Chaf. We've completed the discussion of all the Tana'ei Ketubah, but there is one more obligation imposed by Chazal on a husband which is not mentioned in the Ketubah. More accurately, the obligation is that of a father toward his daughter, separate from the din of Mizonot Habat that we learned in the last perek. This obligation is parnasa, providing one's daughter with a portion of his estate as a substantial dowry to help her marry. The topic of our perek is this obligation of parnasa tabat. Halacha aleph, tzivu chachamim sheiten adam min chasav ma'at levito kedei shetinasebo, v'zeo anikra parnasa. Hamasiya pito stam lo yifchot la mikesut sheposkin le'eshet ani sheb'Yisrael, kamo shebi'arnu. Chazal commanded that a man should give his daughter some of his property as a dowry to help start her off in marriage, and this gift is known as parnasa. The bare minimum of this gift is the clothing which a poor husband must provide to his wife in fulfillment of the Torah obligation to give her ksut. We learned exactly what this consists of at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. But this bare minimum is relevant only if the father is himself poor. If he is wealthy, he must give his daughter more than this, in accordance with his wealth. Halacha bet. Peiresh al habal she'ein la klum v'shiachnisena aruma, ein la klum. V'lo yomar habal kishetavo leveiti achasena, ela mechasa v'hi beveit avia. If a father ignores this obligation and agrees with a husband-to-be that his daughter will enter the marriage with nothing, not even clothes, then the husband must send her clothes to wear during the period of erusin, while she is still in her parents' home. Halacha gimel, ha'av shemeit v'hiniach bat omdin da'ato kama haya b'libo liten la lefarnasata v'notnin la uminayin yod'in umdan da'ato meirei av umyuda'av umimasa'o matana uchvodo v'chein im hisi bat b'chayav omdin ba v'im lo yad'u lo beit din umdan da'at, notnin la min chasav isur lefarnasata. If a father dies before his daughter marries, we estimate as best we can how much he would have wanted to give his daughter as her parnasa, and we give her this amount from his estate. How do we make this estimation? By consulting his friends and examining his other transactions, and based on his social stature. If he married off a daughter in his lifetime, then we check how much he gave her and duplicate that. The Rama brings two opinions as to whether we duplicate the amount he gave to the earlier daughter, even if he became wealthier or poorer since that time, or the percentage of his estate, which he gave the first time, which would mean a larger amount if his wealth increased in the interim, and a smaller amount if his wealth decreased. If Beit Din has no basis on which to make a reliable estimate, then they give the daughter 10% of the estate as her parnasa, and this amount is called Isur Nechasim. Halacha Dalet, Hiniach Banot Rabot, Kol Shetavo Linasei, Notnin La Isur Nechasim, V'lesha Acharea, Isur Mashashira Rishona, V'lesha Acharea, Isur Mashashira Shnia, V'im Bav Kulan Linasei Kachat, Rishona Notelet Isur, V'ashnia Isur Mashashira Rishona, V'ashlishit Isur Mashashira Shnia, V'chein Afilu Hein Eser, V'chozrot V'cholkot Kol HaIsurim B'shaveh, U'shar Nechasim L'achim. What if there are several daughters remaining to be married after the father dies? Does each get 10% of the estate? And if there are 10 daughters, how does this leave anything for the sons to inherit? The Rambam explains, each daughter, as she is ready to marry, receives 10% of whatever is left in the estate at that point. So if we imagine an estate of 100,000 shekel, then the first daughter will collect 10,000 shekel for her parnasa. The second to marry will receive 10% of the remaining 90,000, that is, 9,000 shekel. The third daughter to marry will receive 10% of the remaining 81,000, that is, 8,100 shekel, and so on. What if two or more of the daughters, even all of them, wish to marry at the same time? Then we follow the procedure we just described as if they were getting married one after the other, and then the combined total is split evenly between them. For example, suppose the estate is 100,000 shekel, and that the oldest three daughters wish to marry at the same time. We just calculated that if they were to marry one after the other, they would get parnasot of 10,000, 9,000, and 8,100 shekel, respectively. Therefore, if they marry at the same time, then the sum of these three amounts is split evenly between them. 10,000 plus 9,000 plus 8,100 is 27,100 shekel. So each daughter receives a parnasa of 9,033 and a third shekel. Halacha hei. Isur ze shehu lefarnasa eino mitna ektuba. Lefichach afilu lefi takanat achronim eino nital ela min hakarka. V'yesh la likbot isur ze mischirut hakarka. V'imratzu achin liten la ma'ot keneged isur hakarka notnim. The Isur Nechasim given as Parnasah to each daughter is not one of the Tanai Ketubah. Therefore, even after the Takanat HaGaonim, that the Tanai Ketubah are collected not only from Karka, but also from the Taltalin, the Isur Nechasim is taken only from Karka, including rental income. Furthermore, if the brothers wish to give their sister money equivalent in value to 10% of the land and the income earned from it, they may do so. Despite this psak of the Rambam, that the Isur Nechasim taken for Parnasah comes only from land, the Shulchan Aruch writes that in our time, there is a definite umdana, an evaluation of the late father's intent, that he would have wanted to give his daughter not only from his karka, but also from his metaltalin. Therefore, the value of the estate includes even the metaltalin, and the actual portion of it given to the daughter may also come from the metaltalin in the estate. Halacha Yud, later in the Perek, records another consequence of the fact that Isur Nechasim is not one of the Tanai Ketubah. Even though it is a mitzvah, it is within the power of the father, if he wishes to ignore this mitzvah, to withhold this payment from his daughters, by commanding on his deathbed that they not receive Isur Nechasim from his estate. Halacha Vav, Habat bi Isur ze keval chov shel achin hi, lefichach notelet oto min habeinonit belo shvua. V'metu hachin, notelt oto mibneihem min haziburit uvishvua, sharehi nifrat minichsei yitomim, v'aval yipara minichsei yitomim, lo yipara ela min haziburit uvishvua, kamo shitba'er b'ilchot halva'a. Recall that there are 3 degrees of quality of land. The highest is idit, the middle is beinonit, and the lowest is ziburit. A daughter has the status of a creditor of her brothers when the time comes to take her isur nechasim from the estate. Therefore, she takes it from Beinonit, like any other Baal Chov, and unlike a woman collecting her ketubah, who only has the right to Ziborit. But if her brothers have died, and she collects from their children, her nephews and nieces, then she is like anyone else who collects from Yetomim, which means 2 things. She may collect only Ziborit, and only after taking a Shvuah that she is owed the money and did not already take her Isur Nechasim previously. Halacha Zayin. V'achim shemachru o shemishkenu karka avihen, habat torefet min ha-lekochot parnasata, k'derech shetorfim kol balei chavot min ha-lekochot, k'mo shitba'er bilchot halva'a. Another consequence of the fact that Isur Nechasim has the status of a debt, rather than a Tanai Ketubah, is that it may be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim, land which had been sold during the father's lifetime. We saw in the last 2 prakim that the Tanai Ketubah of Mezonot for the Almana and daughters may not be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim, only from what the father had in his possession at the moment he died. But since Isur Nechasim is a debt which began in the father's lifetime, it may be collected by seizing land of the estate which was sold before his death. Halacha Chet. Mi shehisi banot gedolot, v'nisharu ktanot, umeit belo ben, ein notlin parnasa laktanot, v'achar kach cholkot et nechasim, ela cholkot kulan b'shaveh. Suppose a man has no sons, only 5 daughters. The oldest 2 marry during his lifetime, each after receiving some parnasa from him, let's say the same amount of 10,000 shekel each. But he dies before the last 3 marry. Because there are no sons, the 5 daughters split the inheritance equally. But before dividing up the estate into 5 equal parts, do we first give 10,000 shekel to each of the 3 younger daughters as her parnasah, separate from her inheritance? The answer is no. Just as regarding mizonot in the last parak, the entire takana of isur nechasim, or a parnasah based on umdana, was only established for a scenario in which sons inherit and daughters must collect parnasah from them. But if the daughters themselves inherit, because there are no sons, then the takana of Isur Nechasim does not apply at all, and any daughter who still requires parnasa may take it out of her own inheritance. Halacha Tet. Mi shemet v'hiniach shtei banot uben, v'kadma rishona v'natla isur nechasim, v'lo ispika shnia ligbot ad shemet haben v'naflu kol hanechasim lishtehen, ein ha-shnia notelt isur, ela chalkot b'shaveh, v'zachat rishona b'isur shela. A similar scenario to the last halacha. A father dies, leaving two daughters, Leah and Rachel, and a brother named Reuven. So Reuven inherits, and Leah collects isur nechasim from him when she marries. But Rachel doesn't marry yet, and then Reuven dies. He has no children, and so his two sisters inherit their father's estate. Does Rachel get to take isur nechasim before they split the remainder equally? Again, the answer is no. There is no takana of isur nechasim when the daughters inherit, and so the two sisters split the estate equally, even though Leah already received isur nechasim and Rachel did not. Halacha Yud Aleph. Mi shemet v'hiniach almana uvat, kvar bi'arnu shemizanot almana kodmin limizanot habat. V'chein im nisei tabat, eina notelt isur nechasim, mipnei mizanot almana. V'afilu meit habat achar shniseit, ein habal yoresh parnasa haruya linatein la, sharei hanechasim kulan b'chizkat almana, shetie nizonet mehen. Suppose a man dies, leaving a widow and a daughter. If the resources of the estate are limited, we already saw in the last parak that the mizonot of the widow take precedence over those of the daughter. They also take precedence over isur nechasim. So if there isn't enough in the estate for both the mizonot of the widow and the parnasa of the daughter, then the daughter does not collect any parnasa. Furthermore, even if she marries and later dies, her husband may not collect isur nechasim from the estate because all of it goes toward the mizonot of the widow. Halacha Yud Bet. Ketana yitoma shisiyata ima o acheha ledata, v'natnu la 150 zuz, yichola hi mi shetagdil lahutzi mi adam parnasa haruya la, o b'umdan dat ha'av, o isur karkaot, v'afilu lo hayu achin zaninota. V'af al pi shelo michat b'shat nisuin, mipnei shaktana eina bat mecha'a. If a ketana whose father died is married off by her mother or brother, who give her a very small amount as parnasa, then when she reaches adulthood, she may demand from them the full amount of parnasa, either isur nechasim or some other amount based on an evaluation of the father's intent, as we explained at the start of the parak. The fact that she did not complain at the time of her wedding that her parnasa was too small does not prove that she acquiesced to the smaller amount, because she was a ketana at the time, and a ketana does not have the necessary dat to protest something which she isn't pleased with. Conversely, the Rambam writes at the beginning of Halacha Yud Gimel, a na'ara or a bogeret who marries without claiming her parnasa first is assumed to have relinquished her right to it, unless she protested during her wedding that she did not yet receive the full sum of her parnasa. Continuing a few lines into Halacha Yud Gimel, Bagra ve'oda b'veit avia, bein shebagra achar mot avia, bein shehinicha bogeret, im pasku hachin mezonotea, sharei ein la mezonot kmo shebiarnu, v'shatka v'lo tava parnasata, ibda parnasa, v'imichat lo ibda parnasata. Lo pasku hachin mezonotea v'zanu ota b'beger, af api shelo michat, lo ibda parnasata. Kol zman shein zanin ota, sheyesh la lit'on, mipnei shein zanin, af api sheinam chayavim, v'hi adayin lo niseit, mipnei ze lo tava parnasata. If a girl does not marry by the time she reaches bagrut, then she must claim her parnasa at that point, or else, by her silence, she relinquishes the right to it forever. The exception to this rule is if the father has died and she continues to receive mizonot from her brothers after she becomes a bogeret, even though, as we learned in the last perek, they do not need to continue providing her with mizonot once she becomes a bogeret. In this case, she can claim that the only reason she did not ask for her parnasa was because she was embarrassed to do so while the brothers were voluntarily continuing to provide her with mizonot. Achronim write that in our day, even a bogeret daughter does not lose her parnasa, because we assume that a father would be happy to provide his daughter with a generous amount of parnasa even after that age, whenever she finds an appropriate person to marry. Halacha Yud Dalet. Mi shetziva liten levito kach vekach ma'ot v'parnasata, likach ben karka, bein shaya shchivmira, bein shaya bari, umeit, v'rei ha'ma'ot biyad ha'shaliach, v'amra ha'bat, tnu otan levali, kol ma shiyurtze yasebehen, im hayta gdola v'niseit, harashut biyada, v'im adayin ma'oreseti, yaseh shalish ma shehushlash biyado, v'im adayin ktanahi, afilu niseit, ein shomin la, ela yaseh ha'shalish kamo shetziva u'ha'av. Suppose a man dies after commanding a shaliach to give his daughter a certain amount of money as parnasa, and he specifies that the money should be used to buy land, a safe investment. If the daughter is a gdola and is already nisua, then she may tell the shaliach to give the money to her husband and leave it up to him to decide what to do with it, even against the father's wishes. But if the daughter is only arusa, or even if she is nisua but is only a ktana, then the shliach may take matters into his own hands and use the money to purchase land for her in accordance with her father's wishes. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.